This episode of The Huddle is brought to you by the Athletic Club Oakland, my go-to sports bar in the East Bay. Look, this will be a shock to no one. I love watching sports, and I love it even more while at a sports bar. But to be honest, there is a long period of time where I just couldn't find one I actually liked. I'd find a spot that had TVs, but the food sucked ass, or a place that had good food, but they wouldn't show the game I wanted, and the inside felt dark and depressing. It was always some trade-off or sacrifice, and that's finally done now. The ACO is exactly what I'm looking for without sacrifice. They have a huge space, including an outdoor spot where they shut down an entire street and called it the Town Gardens. They have more than 100 televisions, which can and will show every game you ask for, and they have great food. The ACO has everything you need to comfortably watch your favorite team in any sport at any time with passionate fans. I love it, and I'm pretty damn sure you will too. The Athletic Club Oakland, where sports fans get everything they want every day they want it.
We're going to bring y'all to our huddle.
You are in Warriors Huddle with me, Bram. No Marcus today, but with me per usual, my master of all things video and sound, Maxime.
How's it going?
Maxime, fuck am I excited for this podcast, man. So we weren't even really supposed to record today. We've got Jason Dumas lined up for tomorrow. 1,000 questions on what happens next and how game 5 will play. We'll deal with the Fox injury, all of that. But I'm just bursting with optimism. And so I figured if nothing else, we had to sit down and do a glass half full. How you feeling? How's this podcast finding you?
Real good. I mean, it was a stressful end of the game, but now I'm feeling pretty nice.
There is no other form of entertainment that bleeds into my life the way Warriors basketball does. I was sitting with a friend of mine and we were joking about this, and he said, and this part wasn't joking, that it's a part of our identity. And I kind of fought back like, no, you know, I mean, it means the world to me and I'm spending all this time with it, but it's not a part of my identity. And then if I'm being honest, after the Warriors win, food tastes better. Colors are more attractive to me. Roses smell better. I enjoy the company of my friends more. So identity or not, my emotional well-being is far too wrapped up with this team. And good news, dude, Harrison Barnes missed that shot, so I'm doing pretty well.
Holy shit. I feel like I'm with you, except I'm starting from a much lower baseline because honestly, even through 3 games, I was pretty depressed, you know? So like, it just brought back me to like a normal state. As opposed to things tasting better, they just at least didn't taste like dog shit anymore.
I mean, you know what? Now that you say that, that last response of mine made me seem a little bit more sane than it should, which is really weird because it wasn't a sane thing to say. Every one of these playoff games feels like a minefield that I have to walk across. And that was true even of the dynastic winning years. You know, I get to the end of this thing and it's not like I run around celebrating. It's like, oh, like, I'm super okay. We made it to another day. Let's see. But now that it's a day away, you know, now that some of that relief has turned into exhilaration, I guess I say. And we've only got one segment ahead of us. It's a remarkably short podcast, but it's an important one. And it's a glass half full, man. Look back to just one game. Take a look at that game 4 and give me something you like and don't. I'll go first, and I'm going to take the easiest one off the table. All right. So I don't know if you guys have ever had this experience, but there's times when I'll have a nightmare, right? And it just feels palpable. It feels so fucking real. And I wake up, and then there's that, like, whatever, 20 to 30 second realization of like, oh, holy shit, it didn't happen. You know, like, we're fine. We get to move on with our life and everything's fine. That timeout was one of those false nightmares. There was a, you know, a 2-minute period of my life where Steph Curry had called a timeout. The Suns had a chance to deliver the most gut punch loss in the history of losses. And then Maxime, didn't happen. We're fine. We move on. So there's my first glass half full. And I'll give you one that's a little bit more weaponized, a little bit more pro-Warriors. It's who Klay Thompson was in that last game. Mm-hmm. Not only did he go for 26, not only shoot for 60% shooting, he had a 22 plus minus in a game that was known for its lead changes and tight game. You know, at no point was there this huge lead, and Klay was at the heart of it. And I think it's the exclamation point at the end of the is Klay back response. You know, he finally gave us everything, both sides of the ball, in an important fucking game. And I'll make this one personalized too. I had a knee surgery a while back. And when I had that knee surgery, I remember telling the surgeon, you know, here's what I want to do because my kid's kind of young and I want to be able to play soccer with her. And about a month back, my kids, the team they were playing against, the opponents didn't show up. They needed the parents. I went out, I played, and there it was. This was what I had been working for that entire time. I bet you all those times that Klay Thompson was getting right through 2 years of physical therapy, he had moments in his mind that he wanted to realize. That's why he was going through this. And I bet you one of them was that three-pointer he hit to end the third quarter that was just this enormous shot to give us a double-digit lead, and then he shithoused the Kings hopping back on his repaired knee. So, you know, there's the other thing I like. What do you got?
Thanks for that reminder. I was so wrapped up in the moment by moment of the game that I didn't get a chance to sort of celebrate how wonderful it is to have Klay back. And I'll take it a step further, because what I felt like, you know, Steph had a miraculous game too. And maybe I shouldn't put it that way, actually. You know, I almost feel like now some of the performances that we saw from De'Aaron Fox earlier in the series, they felt miraculous. This just felt like not totally expected, right? But also like a very familiar feeling, like, yes, we've been here many times before, and it just felt so good to see those shots going in over and over again. And you know, I think my glass half full was we were getting to, it was like 4 minutes and 40 seconds left in the game, right? And Doris Burke is talking about how, like, this is the definition of clutch time. We're within 5 points and there's under 5 minutes to go. This is where De'Aaron Fox turns on, you know, the inaugural clutch player of the year. Like, this is his time. And you know whose time it was? Steph Curry. It was the Warriors' time. That's my glass half full. As I was tired of hearing about, it's like, okay, he did it in one regular season. That's not a guarantee that he's going to do it in the playoffs. And when the lights shine the brightest, it was the Warriors who succeeded.
Let's go. Here, I'll throw an exclamation point on that one too. So I thought that the Warriors were going to win. Yeah, but I thought they were going to win because of their guile, yeah, their championship culture. It's all the shit I was saying. You know, finally, Sacramento got knocked under the mat, and I didn't think they'd get up. I was wrong. They did. They did get up. But it's the thing I like, Maxime. All right, we keep talking about the Warriors look a little bit older. They do. They look a little less athletic. They do. But yesterday, we caught two shotgun blasts of everything Sacramento's youth and athleticism has to fucking offer. You know, the Fox did everything you could possibly expect. And what happened? They lost. So fuck you and your youth and your athleticism. That's not going to be enough. Off we go. This entire thing has fucking shifted. Here's something else I like. Having a Harrison Barnes missed wide open three-pointer help the Warriors. The second he threw that up, you know, I mean, like, I was worried, man. I'm not going to tell you that I wasn't worried. But if I had to handpick anyone in the arena to take that shot, I think I would have taken Harrison Barnes over, like, some of the fans. So, you know, way to go, Harry B. You are exactly what we needed at the exact moment we needed you.
It was, you know, it felt good watching that go up, which is such a weird sensation because obviously that, you know, that game seven shot was the almost from the same spot, a little bit farther down, but you know, I think what also felt good about it was the whole time I was screaming at my television, no, when De'Aaron Fox is bringing the ball up. You know, like, I just gave a bunch of slander to De'Aaron Fox, but, like, there's a reason he's the clutch player of the year. It was a very scary moment. And the defense that we played on him without fouling, just solid 7 seconds of defense, which is enough disruption to force him to pass it to Harrison Barnes. And it was like, this is great. I knew when it was going up. I was like, we got it.
I'm going to give you a great off-the-court report, and so we're going to explore this way more tomorrow. But I'll give you a little piece of it today. I went to the game yesterday and got lucky enough. I was in a suite, and the suite I was in was next to Sacramento's suite. So literally, everyone to my right were all the people from the coaching staff and everything who don't go down on the bench. It's all their executives and all these other things. And I have a bunch of neurosis when I'm watching games. And one of them, if I'm really worried about a shot, I don't even want to watch it. You know. And so Harrison Barnes pulls up for that three, and I did not want to watch live, and I need somewhere to look. And so I look off to the right, kind of like just using my periphery. And that puts me now, I'm watching Sacramento's fucking box, you know, and like those tweets showing, you know, point of view when, you know, Steph hits a 3-pointer or something. I now had a point of view of when Harrison Barnes misses a wide open three. And I can tell you that when he took the shot, you already saw some of the disappointment of the executives in that fucking box. You're like, none of them were like hand in head, but like no one was like, oh, it's good. Everyone's like, oh my God. They had an unmistakable face because I've seen it for multiple years of really Harrison's, who is going to take this? And then they were hella disappointed, which was just incredible. Another thing I like, Draymond, across the board, not just how he played, not just how he tried to suck De'Aaron Fox into those conflict wins we've talked about in the past. He was 1 minute into the game and then immediately started screaming at Fox. I mean, and maybe glass half empty too. I don't know if I needed, you know, the Draymond being dramaful before we even got into his third minute of his return. But I liked that he saw if he could push Fox around mentally. I liked how the Warriors ultimately used him. And then most of all, I liked his adjustment. You know, I should have pulled the quote so we could play it here. But they talked to him, you know, were you okay with coming off the bench? And he said, fuck yeah, I was. In fact, he had a better line than that. He said that when he was watching that game three, he could see from, and then he said literally a mile away, because he wasn't watching the game from a mile away, that they could benefit from him being used in a different way. And that this team looks for wins, not personal accolades. And, you know, he's underlining what we've seen from Steph and Andre across the board. But it's just another reminder who these fucking guys are and the mentality that they all have.
Yeah, I really respected the whole energy. I mean, even when he came onto the court, that he didn't try to be a shell of himself. I agree with you, though. It was a little over the top. But also credit to Dylan for sending us the take from Dre's podcast about him just sort of saying, taking ownership over Steph making that timeout call when there wasn't a timeout to give, which is really interesting. And I don't know, maybe we'll discuss that a little bit more tomorrow. But just to toss it out right there in the moment, I didn't even blame Steph. You know, I feel like that's the definition of championship pedigree. The coach's challenge is a relatively new addition to the league's rules. And the fact that you lose a timeout when you miss the challenge, I mean, it was like, obviously they shouldn't have challenged it, but it was one of those moments where, you know, I feel like shit happens. And if you're in the zone, he probably knew how many timeouts there were and just didn't take into account the coach's challenge. But anyways,
working backwards. We should play that Draymond quote, and I haven't heard it yet, him taking credit for it. But it's hard to believe because I've since watched the replay. And Steph, what Draymond says is, look, I should have been his outlet. Should have been behind him. Steph got trapped, didn't have an outlet, was forced into a timeout that he shouldn't have taken. But I've watched that fucking highlight. And there wasn't like Steph got trapped, looked behind him and was like, oh no, Steph got trapped and called a timeout almost immediately, you know? And so like, we can talk about it openly now because it doesn't matter. It's a nightmare that didn't come to fruition, you know? But even if all Draymond was doing was taking that bullet, then, you know, look, and then credit for him. It makes me like him even more.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I'll give you another point of view from the arena. When that timeout thing happened, confusion reigned, right? So when Steph gets it and gets doubled and then seemingly calls a timeout, the place is going crazy. Game's over. You know, it's night-night time. And then they play stops. But initially, all the fans, at least in the arena, think play stopped because there's a timeout. There's a timeout on the floor, something. You don't know. And then there's weird confusion. We stop cheering. And you can tell that the players on the floor are walking around in a way that doesn't make sense. And they're not going back to the huddle. And then they start talking about technical. And you're like, oh, why? What do you mean? And then they slowly explain, okay, you called the timeout they didn't have. And then you see everybody figuring out what that means. You know, the fans are like, okay, well, they get a free throw. Oh, my God, they get the ball as well. And the how quickly that ton of bricks came down on our head after not understanding, because I would imagine on the telecast, they're like, okay, here's what's going down. Here's the next thing. And none of that was happening in the arena. So next thing I fucking know, De'Aaron Fox is firing up a goddamn three-pointer, apparently with a broken finger. And, you know, my life is flashing before my eyes. But again, at the risk of saying it for the third time, it didn't happen, Maxime. It's a nightmare that didn't land. So, you know, it is what it is.
I guess you're going to have to keep reminding me of that because I kind of want to throw up now just reliving that. They did not tell us right away, you know? It's just like, okay, they got the tee. It's like, all right, they get one shot. That's a bummer. But, like, obviously we'll get the ball back because it's a ridiculous call to then give them possession on just, like, a dumb mistake. They also get the ball. I was fully freaking out and... You're going to get, so it didn't happen, right? Just tell me again. That was a nightmare, right? Jesus Christ.
I swear to God, at some point, so another peek behind the neurotic curtain. At some point yesterday while watching the game, I thought to myself internally, stop thinking, don't hit a three. Because every time I complete that sentence in my head, they hit a three. And so like that tech, I think to myself, don't hit a three. And then I go, God damn it, Bram, you're not supposed to. And then they fucking hit that three. And it was like, it's all happening. It's all happening. But they won, man. Seeing Kings fans, and there, you know, to their credit, there were a good amount of Kings fans there. Seeing Kings fans walk out of there as stunned as they were was just fantastic. And actually, I don't know why I didn't lead with this. It just shows I'm an asshole. But there was apparently a local Sacramento TV station that was there because not only the cameraman and the reporter, but everyone whom they were interviewing was only Kings fans. It was just left and right. And one of those like random moments I genuinely enjoyed. I mean, I don't know how long I saw though, however long it takes to walk from one portion of Thrive Center or Thrive City to the next. So, you know, maybe 90 seconds, but throughout that 90 seconds, they did not get one answer from the Kings fans that they're interviewing, because every time they stopped the question, someone would go out and go, Warriors in six, Warriors in six, which is like saying, fuck you guys, you're not winning another game on live national television. So fantastic. I really enjoyed that as well.
that's immaculate and like poor planning, you know, not a great decision on their part.
I can neither confirm nor deny that I screamed Warriors in six a couple of times while walking in front of the camera. So we'll see if I actually made any Sacramento news stations. Quick hitter, and then we'll get out of here and save some of this heat for tomorrow's podcast. Fox, we've heard the news now. We've both Shams and Woj have reported that De'Aaron Fox has a fracture on his shooting hand, index finger. And then that's where the reporting splits a little bit. Shams seems to think that we're not going to see De'Aaron. He's already been listed as doubtful. Whereas Woj's tweet is a little bit more optimistic. Initial thoughts when you found out about that, what'd you think?
Such a range of feelings, you know, the rational, like now I'm like, man, that's such a bummer. You know, like, who was it? Man, there's another player, that was wearing, man, who was it? In another series, there's a guy who's got a hurt hand.
DeMontis, this series, when I kept saying they needed to hit his thumb.
Yeah, yeah, no. But it was like a shoe. It was like Trae Young or something. In any case, like obviously hampered, right? Obviously not playing as well. If De'Aaron Fox does play on Wednesday, which is possible, I doubt that he's going to be shooting as well as he would normally. That's a huge, huge deal. And that's a bummer, you know? Like even if we win the series and he's out, right? Like, you get Kings fans going to say like, oh, if he was healthy, we would have beaten you, whatever. It's not a clean series. You don't like those proverbial asterisks.
Yeah.
But there's a part of me, there's a part of me that just wants to win no matter what. And, you know, if it's something that's healable and he'll be back to his full self by come next season, then everybody wins in my book.
It depends on when you ask me. If you asked me right as I was screaming at that Sacramento television station, Warriors in six, probably would have been happy that he was out, right? Now, you know, a little bit calmer. It underlines that this is the icing on the dynastic cake this year. Because like that first year when the Warriors are going for a championship and the Cavs had some injury problems, I went behind this microphone and said, I don't give a fuck who's hurt. My team has been hurt my entire life. Nobody gave one shit about their shortcomings. And so the fact that we are getting some windfalls now, I don't care. If we had to beat a WNBA team for the championship, I would have been totally fine with it. Now that we've kind of done that, you know, and this is a different run up the mountain, I wouldn't minded a full squad to beat, you know, and Fox is having one hell of a series. So we'll see if, you know, fast forward, man. And game five happens and Fox plays and he looks great. Ask me again, because I'm pretty sure I'll be changing that response. Also, I'd love to know, it's been nothing but guesses, but at least on the text threads I've had, I'd love to know when he broke it. Mm-hmm. Because my assumption is that it was broken when he hit that hell of a three-pointer that, you know, almost cost me years off my life. So if he's hitting that type of clutch shit, even with a broken finger, then chances are he's playing on, you know, in game five and he's still going to be a problem for Golden State.
Yeah, I mean, sure, I hear that. And like, look, I'm no sports scientist, but at the same time, right? Like if you're breaking it in the fourth quarter or fracturing it or whatever in the fourth quarter, you know, it hasn't swelled up yet. you know, you're playing through adrenaline, you're probably able to manage a lot, you know, but a few days later, it's probably got to hurt a lot more, and it's probably definitely pretty swollen. You know, it's a different situation than the moment that you break it. So
are you a sports scientist, though? That's what I would like to know. Because if you're not a sports scientist, I'm not going to listen to one thing you have to say. I imagine you're not in like sports medicine or something, or are you out there like creating athletes like with, you know, in the lab somewhere?
That's exactly right. Yeah, I got my 3D printer in the back. It's a little side venture I've been working on.
I am a sports scientist, and I can tell you that, yeah, no, I mean, that fair enough. And adrenaline is different at the end of the game immediately after an injury than it would be jumping back in. Although I, you know, there's probably some painkillers and shit they can give them. I guess we'll find out, man. I'll ask you this again tomorrow when we really explore, but what's your prediction for game five?
I guess it does depend a lot on De'Aaron Fox, because I felt like otherwise this is going seven.
Yep.
But, I mean, if he's anything other than the transcendent self that he's been through the first four games, then I think Warriors are taking the game five.
I'm feeling myself. If they brought back prime Jordan, I'd be telling you fucking Warriors in six. I'm all the way in. I've already been on television saying that. I might as well say it on our own podcast. Maxine, God, it's great to have playoff basketball back, man. There's no other form of entertainment like this. There really isn't. And for now that we're winning and I feel on top of the world, I love it. Let's go, man.
Hell yes. Let's go. Dubs in six. I'm in.
Cubs in six. Hell yeah. I'll get that news crew out here and we can do it together. All right, man. I appreciate you humoring me and doing a quick one here. Let's get it out. For people who are listening, you want to get us a question, some feedback, some issues for tomorrow's podcast, you can shoot that too.
Huddle@warriorshuddle.com.
We are also on a few social media sites. Let me start with the most important. What Maxime is doing over on YouTube is nothing short of dope as fuck. Get over there. Look at these videos. Look at the highlights. Look at the shorts. Look at what he's doing. It costs you nothing. It'll help us even if you just look on there. And if you feel it, subscribe. We're also up on Twitter. You know that one, @WarriorsHuddle. And we are on Instagram, where you'll see Marcus's work and Dylan and Tiffany's work. With that in mind, go Warriors. And hopefully, we'll see you tomorrow.
Good, good.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.